So hello and welcome to the Possibilitarian Podcast. I'm Anna.
Hello.
This is Rob.
Yeah, I'm Rob.
And
I'm Carlos.
Also known as Tech or...
Yeah, just Tech. I used to go by Tech Nasty, and then I think it's not even professional anymore. So I have my own YouTube channel, and I changed it to Era of Tech. So it's just basically my last name, just rearranged.
That's a good one.
Love it.
That's a good
one. That's really good. So we kind of just want to give everyone a brief background as to who you are and what you do.
Okay, so I'm going to be fully transparent. I am a college dropout out of a Division II Long Island school in, called Adelphi University. So I was a distance runner in high school, and in college I was good enough to get a scholarship, but I was also dumb enough to go to the college that didn't offer me the most amount of money, but my girlfriend at the time was going there, so I went there. Obviously, it didn't work out so well for me. I was an exercise science major and a pre-physical therapy major, and then I dropped out my fourth year after a lot of like personal issues I was dealing with like I have attention deficit disorder. I got myself clean off that, off Adderall in college. So that was that's where I dropped a lot of everything. So then comes around 2010, I tried out for the Olympic trials in the marathon. So one of the prerequisites was like you had to go 1:13 in the half marathon. So I ran 1:15, and it was a three and a half minute PR. So I was like 5:45 per mile. So I didn't make it. So I was at a crossroad. I had to say, well, what do I have to do? I have to pay off these college student loan debts. So I went to my local recruiter with another teammate of mine, and we both signed up within a week. We both shipped out in the summer of 2010. And he went a week before me because he had an 11 x-ray contract and I had a simple 11 Bravo, like, hey, I'm going to go as an infantry. So I initially signed up for 3 years. My first duty station after I crushed the PT test in basic training because I was a 2 mile stud. So they, my drill sergeant offered me airborne school and to go to the 82nd. So obviously I took them out on that. My first duty station was 2508, used to be 4th Brigade at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, 2 Fury. I deployed with them in 2012, came back from deployment, and then I went with 4th ID. I reenlisted for 4th ID, and then I was in 4th Brigade there before they got disbanded in 112. In 2014, I redeployed. I was in a pretty horrific accident in 2014. Luckily enough, I made it out relatively unharmed. I just had a lot of broken stuff, but a lot of broken bones, but mostly my ego is bruised. Then I came back, I went to WTV for 9 months, came back out of WTV, re-enlisted, went to 25th ID, that's where I met Rob. And my platoon sergeant decided that I needed to go back to aerosol, I needed to go to aerosol school, and then ranger school immediately after. And that was our plan. So I can get a snowball effect because I was at a low point in my career. Even though like I feel like I did the best that I could out of that situation, I just needed to prepare myself as a leader to do more just in case it ever happened again. After, in 2016, I graduated ranger school in April. Actually, this last class would have been 4 years ago. And then I decided to do Best Ranger in 2018. My partner and I, we did relatively well. He actually injured himself. I also injured myself. I cracked my rib on the second event. I fell from the vertical ladder. I have no shame saying that. I cracked my rib. I have it on video, and I watch it religiously because you can hear the air and my soul escape my body while you watch that video.
Wow.
We finished 35th, and our other team finished 5th. My teammate had a knee issue, so we had to pull out during the ruck the first day. Then I re-enlisted for Carson to come back, so in 3rd Brigade, which is a mechanized unit. So I've been from light infantry to light to striker, back to light, and now I just finished some mechanized time. So I feel like I'm multifaceted on the light and the heavy side of the infantry. I just came back from my 3rd deployment. It was half deployment to Kuwait and half to Syria, and it was pretty enjoyable. Each deployment was a lot more enjoyable than the last.
Sounds like a pretty decent career so far. I mean, you've gotten...
Yeah, well, I mean, I still have... If I decide to stay in, I still have a lot of, like... Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to stay in.
I think we all go through that point at some point. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I've had a few times where, like, I'm getting out. But here I am, damn near 19 years later.
I'm at a point right now where it's like, I just hit 10, and this is my last. I need trade-off time, so obviously I didn't make this E7 list. I don't have trade-off time. I do not have an EIB. I failed at that twice. Three times. Three times I've messed up on that. And it's usually the weapons lane that gets me, because they always change everything up. But I have another opportunity coming up, so I'll probably take full advantage of that. As a pre-ranger instructor, I have the opportunity to go to the other schools as an instructor. But I still need trade-off time. I'm KD complete, so yeah. I need trade-off time. And I'm thinking about going recruiting.
Don't do it. Don't do that.
Our faces.
No. No, like as far as the trade-off side of the house goes, I'm gonna be completely honest with you. Like if you have one or the other between recruiting and drill, go drill. Drill is the better option of the two.
I'm no. So here's my reasoning for recruiting. So I'm gonna try to get stay in Colorado, and then get out. And I have 3 years left on this contract. So the police academy test comes out in 2 years. For Denver. So if I'm already stationed there, I already put 2 years of mortgage towards a house, my forever home. So this last deployment solidified a lot of things for me. Like, I have two young kids. Yeah. I have my son, Jacob, and then my daughter, Brooklyn. And I missed a lot. I was injured. I ruptured my Achilles in 2018, and then had surgery in January. And then by May, I was already deployed. So I didn't even have my 90-day checkup with my doctor by the time I was already back in Kuwait with my platoon. And within that 9-month deployment, I missed out a lot of opportunities for my son. And I don't, if I can afford the opportunity to give him the best life he possibly can, I will. And I think he needs a father figure there, because my wife is, it's overwhelming for just one person to do, especially with two very extroverted kids. So that's the reasoning why I would suffer for the 2 years of recruiting, as long as, like, I get to develop my kids in the way that I see fit.
Okay. I can understand that. Actually, I get a pretty high amount of respect for that as well. So I completely understand where you're coming from.
So I know you're really into fitness. So what is some advice that you can give some people?
Okay. So now that I got away from Instagram and I deleted my page, I'm focusing on things I've never done before in my life. This Achilles rupture really, like, put that hammer, like, that nick in that chiseled armor that ego that I thought I had. Like, well, I'm invincible now again. And in my life, I've gone through those struggles where I thought I was invincible. In high school, I was on the top of my game. I was the county champion for 2 years in the mile, the 2 mile, the steeplechase, any distance running. I was known in my county and then in my city. So New York City has all the boroughs and everything, and I was a threat, and I felt invincible. And then till one St. Patrick's Day, when I was sober, this is before I was allowed to drink, I completely sprained my ankle coming out of indoor, going into outdoor season. And it was the first time in my career where I felt vulnerable. Like, in my life, I felt vulnerable. Look, oh my God, I'm susceptible to injuries. So fast forward 2018, I've been snowballing all these other schools and everything has gone so well for me. Like, I failed like air assault. I failed ranger school, but at the end of it, eventually I passed. Then training up for the 2019 best ranger competition, I ruptured my Achilles on a vertical wall, like on a slant wall. The fourth time I was running up of it. Like, it wasn't like, oh, it was just, I was cold and everything, like the muscles were cold. I ran there. I did the obstacle three times already. On the fourth time, it just snapped. So I looked at, my doctor looked at me, he's like, you're not going to be able to do this ever again. And the mentality I went was like, well, he's saying this. I understand what he's saying. But knowing who I am as a person, like, I will find a way around it. Like, even if I have to walk, even if I have to get a prosthetic foot, or because that was one of the options. Like, I was like, okay, you have such a bad tear, and then it started healing up because I had to go to NTC. So I had a complete ruptured Achilles throughout all NTC. And I'm not saying like I was in white cell. I was in the box the whole time. So granted, I was mechanized, and I was in charge of a Bradley, so I was lucky in that aspect. But coming back from that, my doctor said, like, hey, you won't have full range of motion. I have, like, after the surgery, he's like, I had to collect a lot more ligament than I needed to, and you won't be able to go on your toes ever again. Like, running will be something difficult. And I'm glad to say today, I just finished 10.2 miles. Last week, I broke 6 minutes the mile at 6,400 feet of elevation, which was my goal for like 3 weeks from now. So I finished my goal 3 weeks earlier. So what I learned as an individual is, like, don't just set one goal, set multiple goals. And if you set multiple goals and you fail at one, but you succeed at another, it's still a success story.
Right.
And that's where a lot of people, like, they get so tunnel vision on, like, I just have to hit this one goal. And I learned, I was like, well, what about if that goal is not attainable at this very moment? Like, maybe you're too light. Maybe you're too heavy to do this. Why not set several goals? And then, or you can have goals, small goals that will fall in line and then fit into the pieces that you need to finally succeed to that ultimate goal you have. Like, for me now, I want to do a 50-miler. I've never done a marathon.
Oh, what?
I've done...
How long?
A 50-mile.
50? 50, 5-0, yeah. 50 miles.
I can't even go down the street without dying.
You know you don't
have
to do that, right? you know, like, what you? We're going to die just listening to this story, right? You know you don't have to do that, right?
No, yeah, obviously, no. This is for me. This is just a personal thing I want to do. All
right.
So the first thing, the process I go through to accomplish a goal. So for me, especially in like endurance running and in like long distance running, is first of all, I have to tell people I'm doing this, because if I don't do it, I look like a dick. So then I'm just letting people down. And a lot of people can't do that. They can't do that. That will drive a lot of people to accomplish a goal if they know that other people know about it, if they know about the goal. So second thing was, I needed to find a race. So last night I found a race, September 12th, 2020, as long as the quarantine's gone, there's a 50-miler here in Colorado, and it's called the Fox Run Fun Run, and it's a bunch of loops.
Fun Run.
Fun my fun ass. Fun. There's nothing 50. There's nothing fun.
That's
about
like
50
the
miles.
Mandatory fun that they make you go to in the Army.
Like the Great Aloha Run.
Yeah, then I would have to carry a guide out throughout the whole thing.
Oh my god.
And if you read the fine print, it's like, okay, one loop's 5K, then 8 loops is a marathon, 16 loops is a 50-miler. And then, like, it tells you on the side, smaller, it says 7,200 feet of elevation change. So that alone is just like, okay, so in this 50 miles, I will go up straight a mile and a half, at least. So that's the second thing. So establishing a race. The third thing is seeing how much time I have. So I have 20 weeks as of today. I have 20 weeks. So I printed out a program and I've printed out a plan. I have never ran a 50-miler, so I have nothing to base it on. Like, the furthest I've ever ran was 30 miles for a mock best ranger competition 2 years ago. So 30 miles is the most miles I've put on my feet in one day. So that's with rucking, running, and weight on my back. So I think with the muscle memory, I'll be able to accomplish that. But that's my third process. The third thing I go through in the process is establishing the plan. And the fourth thing, which is the hardest, is sticking to that plan, especially in Colorado, because you don't know all these variables. Like, work will go back into normal. I'm blessed. Like, in the area I'm in right now, when we're in cycle, we are in cycle. And I get to work out while we're in cycle. And then when we're off cycle, we have miscellaneous tasks and resetting for the next cycle. And in that time, I can put in mileage galore. So I have a golden opportunity to do something, and I want to take advantage of it. And I think 50 miles is something, like, I don't want people to think I'm comparing to David Goggins, like the Navy SEAL. Uh-huh. Like, granted, he's from New York, and his story, it's an incredible story to emulate. My dad's always done marathons. My dad is diabetic. He's done 5 New York City marathons that I can remember, like that I have his tank top still from. And my dad did it with a broken foot under horrible conditions, under other people's names. Like, my dad found a way without training. Like, I know I can do it because I can mentally push myself. And I think my dad established that at a young age for me, that it can be done as long as I have put the mental effort towards it.
Right. The mental effort, I mean, that's certainly a big thing for a lot of people, especially with those that are struggling with either their current goals or people that are just struggling in general to try and get into doing things.
Yeah, I know when I'm, like, running and I've been going for a while, I just, like, I feel like I can't go any further. So, like, what is it that you tell yourself to keep yourself going?
Okay, so I trick myself. The majority of my runs are out and backs. So I have to go out in one direction. If I park my car, I go out in one direction, and I'll stick to a time. So let's say, like, a time or a distance, right? So let's go with time. So the first time, I'll go 25 minutes out. So I have to put that much effort to come back. Like, at the end of the day, I'm going to have to come back to my car and drive home. So I'll do an out and back. And then the next week, I'll add 2.5 minutes. What's 2.5 minutes? 2.5 minutes is nothing. But in reality, that's 5 minutes, because you have to come back 2.5 minutes. So, and every week, it just adds. You just add that increment, add those small increments. And then eventually, you find yourself 60 minutes out, 60 minutes back, and you're at 2 hours. And then you started small, but then you snowballed it into something bigger.
Yeah, that's a good method. It's a technique.
Yeah, Ray Santiago taught me that one.
Yeah, I tell you, I am not going to go 60 minutes out and 60 minutes back, but you super runners, you go by all means. I'm not going to.
I don't know. Well, I tried a new trail the other day, and I didn't know how far I was going to go. I just went. And by the time, like, I realized I was way too far out, I was like, well, shit. Now I have to, like, go all the way the hell back. So I, like, retraced my steps to, like, try to get back. And then on the way back, I was dying. But, like, I still made it back because, like you said, I had to get back to my car. So it was just, I don't know. It was pretty bad. But
you still did it, though. I remember that. Yeah, we were talking about
that. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. Like, it doesn't matter if you put how fast you went, as long as you put the mileage in. You establish a good aerobic capacity, a good aerobic base. And then you can start building off that.
Yeah.
And then you start tapering off closer to your race time.
I'm not knocking distance, time, or anything of the sort, because there's some people that they're just natural runners to go that kind of distance. I am not one of those people. So when it comes to, like, long time frame running or long distance running like that, it's not for me. I do other things, but that kind of distance, absolutely not. Matter of fact, one of my drill sergeants, he does like all sorts of races. He does a whole lot of things. I'm like, man, you know, you really don't have to do that, right? But he has this, like, constructed pack that he carries 2 flags. I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what they're for, but every single race that he does, he, on his pack, he carries these 2 flags, and they're for multiple reasons why he does these particular races. And he goes out, there's a route. He goes, he's like, all right, I did 10 and a half miles this week. And then, like, the next week, he's like, all right, now I'm doing 12 miles next week. I'm like, all right, well, I'll be right here in my office. Let me know when you get back.
No, thank you. Mm-mm. So, for, like, people that quit on their fitness goals, or that quit too early, what would you, like, say to them to, like, help them out?
Get involved into an accountability group. So, we are very selfish as individuals now, especially nowadays, like Generation X or Millennials. We care too much what other people think. So, if you're in a group that keeps everyone accountable, like, you're going to have to break an emotional bond that you have with this group. So, if you're a part of it, it keeps you in there longer than you mentally want to stay.
Yeah.
That's so I get it, involve yourself into an accountability group.
So now that you said, like, caring about what people think, what do you think about, like, these fitness models or the ones that are just on Instagram posting themselves in, like, uniform but also fitness stuff but not really bringing any kind of value?
My opinion towards them would be it would mean nothing. I don't put food on their table. They don't take food from my table. So if that's how they want to live their life, who am I to judge? I'm not the Almighty. I am just another human being. I am one of 7 billion other individuals. My opinion on what they do with their life or their small time frame on this earth, 93% of everyone who's ever existed is dead. 3% of us. That's the people who are living nowadays. There's only 3% of all humans that have ever lived. Why does it matter? Like, if that's where they find joy, yeah, obviously, if you're an NCO, like, you can respectfully, like, message them privately. I've done that before. I messaged them, I was like, hey, man, this kind of looks offset. Like, hey, you want to probably reel this in? Probably not show up all your cheeks. Like, cover up your crack. Something like that, but it has like a respectful way. And I think I know what you're talking about. They're the people who want to use one aspect of their life and like, hey, look, this is who I was, and now this is who I am. Like this is, but especially a lot of people in the military, we put each other up on this pedestal. Like you need to be this is the standard. This is what you need to be, and there's no variation. But at the end of the day, we're all human. Like there's, you have a personality, Rob has a personality outside of work. Like just because you put on this uniform and there's a standard or a stigma that follows that uniform, it doesn't define you as a person. Like when I'm at work, I'm professional. But when I'm in my garage gym, I'm going to be in my short shorts and I'm going to sing my ass off. Even if I get the words wrong. I will do it because that's who I am as a person. Like this is who I was as before. Like I always wore shorts, really ridiculously short shorts to college classrooms. Cause that's how I walk. Like that's how I saw myself. And being in the military is just another side of me. And at the end of the day, like if I am still following all the guidelines and everything, especially like we're in Hawaii, we had one individual who was on every, social media bulletin. Hey, this female always posts pictures of herself and in the uniform, and then it's like she's covering very little. Granted, it's Hawaii, and skinny bikinis is a norm in Hawaii. That's not outside the norm. But the problem was she would post pictures. Other pages would post pictures of her and her uniform.
Yeah.
So is the flaw on the individual or the page admins who decided like, hey, this is acceptable when they had the complete, like they had the complete right to like, hey, I don't have to post this. She's just asking if I could. At the end of the day, who is at fault? The admins had a say in it too. So that's what I do at Untied Military. Like I express my own personal opinion, like professional opinion, especially like, to be transparent, I get a lot of females and males that send pictures that are very close to borderline porn. And then I just like, I at first I'll go, do you understand what kind of attention this will bring? It's not going to be all positive attention. It's the internet. People who have, who've done nothing with their lives will post their opinions on something, on a matter. Like, there's that meme where that guy, he's a fat dude sitting on his couch judging the women from Miss America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her nose is too big. Those individuals exist everywhere. So this individual, like, so the admin has an extra voice. So the admins of these big pages, they have a say of whether or not they're going to post it. And if they post it, what does it say about their page? They're there for the attention.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as I just started being an admin again, I had a small break because it was just very overwhelming. Like, when I'm telling you, like, Tata Military gets a lot of messages from, like, hey, please post me and everything. And we try to feature as many people as possible, but also within the algorithm and using it to our advantage. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want attention, like, in the positive light, like, it's great. Why not showcase? Like, Military Fresh does it all the time. They showcase individuals. They have individuals who are there who are very attractive, very attractive, but they're also professional, and they show themselves in that light. So you have to find that wiggle room or that middle, like Military Fresh does. And unlike, I don't want to bash other pages, but there's other pages out there. And if you see a problem with it, just message them. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I don't think this is professional. That's what we're supposed to do as an NCO. Like, message them privately, or do you want to blast them? Like, would you like to be blasted in front of your own set of peers?
And that's that's not the best way to get someone to do something that you want to do, because you've now just outed them publicly. So of course they're gonna be like defensive,
right?
And you're right. Yeah. Like,
and it's understandable. They're gonna be you just exploit them. What are they gonna do? They're gonna go into defense mode. They're gonna be like, hey, shut the F up. You can barely pass away in high end weight. Like, I had a conversation with that with some dude. And it's like, I'm not gonna stoop to that level. I'm not gonna be like, yes, I understand you're a fat dude. You're very overweight. I was like, you look like you grab toothpaste from the bottom and sit up and put the cap back on. That's what your body looks like. Skinny legs and then a disgusting blob in the middle. And I wouldn't say that to him personally because I don't want to exploit him like that. There's always a professional way to do it. And people are more receptive that way. Like, I was being told, hey, you shouldn't post so many pictures of yourself in a Speedo. And it makes sense. It makes sense. Like, people would post my pictures of me in a Speedo and then me in a uniform. What's the difference between me in a Speedo versus a female in a bikini? Nothing. Nothing. It's the same thing. So I took those pictures down. When it was brought to my attention, I took them down. And I was like, any picture that I had, it's either just me in the Speedo or just me in uniform. Never meant molding both, because I couldn't practice what I preached because I had those pictures on. And it was brought to my attention, like, hey, like, you're hypocritical. And I was like, wow, thank you for opening my eyes. I will take it down. There's no salt on my shoulders. Like, at the end of the day, like, okay, you brought to my attention. Great. Thank you. And then move on.
Yeah. I know, for like personal preference, I try to stay away from posting anything like too revealing, because at the end of the day, like, I am senior enlisted, and like, I don't want like my soldiers to like on Monday morning be like, oh yeah, we saw your vagina on the internet yesterday, and then, oh, you want me to go to the motor pool? No thanks. So yeah. I don't know, I kind of steer clear from that. And at the end of the day, it's everyone's personal. Like, that's their page, you know, and that's, like, if that's what they want to do, then that's what they want to do. That's their prerogative, but for me, I just, yeah, like, I think that if I want to be highlighted in a positive light, not just because of, like, being on Instagram, I think it's just me as a person, and I know that, like, my kid's gonna see you know, whatever he posts on the internet, it, like, stays on the internet. And, like, I don't want my kid to, like, see stuff that I would ever be embarrassed about. So I always kind of try to keep that in mind. So.
So I have a question. So have you heard of the Don't Rush Challenge?
Yes.
So it started with female Marines. It's like they are multifaceted. Like, this is them in their evening gown or evening attire, and then they cover the camera up, and then it reveals that they're in their Marine uniform. Perfectly classy. Nothing completely wrong. Obviously, then it started snowballing into something else. Then the males, like, no, there's no repercussions for the females. The males did it. Male dudes, Andy did it, Matt did it, some other staff sergeants did it, and I'm on a Bravo's page, like, and, like, all these dudes are like, oh, this is where we, like, lost. This is where the Marines are just not, like, not to standard. What's the difference? What's the difference between a female doing it and a male doing it? The females had no repercussions from it. The males, there was so much backlash on the internet for it. Yeah. So much. There was countless videos made for it and everything. And it's just them in their them in their going out attire. Like, them in a suit. In a suit. Professional. Like how you would see them in a club. Or at a business. I mean, not really at an interview because they weren't wearing ties. I was like, but everything, like a three-piece suit without a tie. So, business casual Friday, right? Like, anything, and then you see them in uniform. The difference is, like, who the internet decides to pick and choose. And who the internet wants to fall on somebody else's flaws. Like, and the sad thing is, like, the males are the worst. Like, females are horrible. Horrible. Females to other females in the service, they're horrible. And they base it purely on their own personal experiences. And they're like, this is it. Like, this is everyone, every other female in the military is like this. And this is a stereotype. And they fall into their own traps. And they're like, they only look at one side of the picture. Like, they don't dig deep. They don't look into the caption. They don't look into the writing or what that person is writing about. They just see the picture or the video. And they're basing everything based on that. And it's horrible. It's like, it's snowballed. That one video snowballed into the wrong thing. Because now, one of the groups that you were mentioning before, they took it and then, like, they put lingerie. And then them as gun bunnies. Who do I? I am a healthy male. Yeah, that is amazingly attractive to watch. I mean, I wouldn't watch it in front of my kids. But who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? Like, if you are young, vibrant, even if you're old and vibrant, old and unvibrant and dull, and you have the confidence to do that, who am I to tell you not to do it? Who am I? Am I a judge, jury, and the executioner of the internet? No. I'm just a set of, like, atoms combined to make a human being. Like, that is it. Like I said before, 3%. 3% of all the world's population exists now. 7 billion people. 93% of every human being that's been ever existed is dead. 93%. We are at 3%. We are the 3%. So it's crazy that we're in this era of all this exposure, and then we still take the time, the energy, the effort to belittle other people. Like, it's not necessary. If you don't like it, just scroll. What does your opinion matter?
Yeah. Thank you.
Your opinion doesn't matter. My opinion doesn't matter. If you like the video, then you're going to like it.
Yeah. I think it's like people care too much, and then at the end of the day, like, no one really actually remembers. Because, like, fast forward, like, a month from now, 2 months from now, who the hell actually remembers, like, something that you did? Like, no, like, everybody is so self-invested in themselves to actually care about what somebody did. Like, I'm not thinking about, like, you know, some people that, like, post things. Like, I'm not thinking about them. Like, if I see, like, something on my timeline, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. That's part of my day. And then we talk about it and, like, well, you know, whatever. But then, like, after that, it's like I completely forget that this person ever existed.
What if I told you that you could see something on the internet you don't like or agree with, and you can just scroll past it?
Exactly. It's like, you don't have to, like, comment. You don't have to do anything. Like, you could just...
If you disagree, you can unfollow.
Exactly.
Like, or you can call the person. And if you don't have their number, you're not important enough to that person anyway. Like, for me, I'm grateful that I have a circle of friends that I can rely on. And they'll put me down. They tell me how it is. And that's healthy for me because I need that. And but I don't want to hear it from dudes that, in a negative way. Like, not saying, like, oh, I'm a puss. Like, I don't really care. Just come at me in a professional way at the end of the day. Like, at the end of the day, like, I don't know who you are. I don't give my energy is precious to me. Like, whoever I invest my energy to, it's more meaningful that way. But, like, dudes that, like, I've never talked to, never meant, like, I've never interacted with you, why would I give you my energy? Like, I'll just disconnect myself from the conversation. Because at the end of the day, they don't care about me. Like, they don't know, like, if their words... And that's the crazy thing. Like, what we do on the internet, like, can have ripple effects in someone's emotional or spiritual mind, like, in their stability, their anxiety, or something like that. Oh, I said that, like, you're a fat piece of shit. You don't know the ripples of that one comment you made to that person's self-esteem. Like, you don't know where they're coming from. Especially if the post, like, if the comment or the caption is about something positive. And then you bring it down to a negative light.
Yeah.
And then you ask, like, oh, why are you just so mean to me? Well, because you came at this person in the complete wrong manner. Like, if you came professionally or, like, from a good place in your mind, they would have seen what you're trying to portray, and then they would either change, and as a positive, they would change, or in the negative, they would just completely dismiss it. But the goal is to change, right? The goal is to have a positive influence on someone. So you want to change. So if you're going to bring something up, like, bring it up in a positive manner.
Agreed. It's all in the approach. Like, how you approach somebody to address something, that pretty much determines the direction of the conversation, how it's going to go, and how it's going to turn out. So somebody may take to what you're saying completely openly and in a respectable kind of positive way, or they're going to immediately jump on the defensive and start taking it in a complete negative way.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on to our show.
Absolutely.
You are awesome.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Good seeing you guys. I look forward to seeing you guys. If you're ever in Colorado or near me, please come by and visit.
Oh, absolutely. Always a pleasure, brother.
All right, y'all. Believe in yourself, trust yourself, take responsibility. You have everything you need within you. Make sure to subscribe and follow us on Instagram. I am Anna Valencia, and
I'm Rob Sepulveda.
And this is the Possibilitarian Podcast. We're just dancing in the dark, in the fashion lines. I know you can.